Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava Radhe. Shri Radha Madhava ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam mudiraye nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the morning class on the appearance day of Lord Varahadev. Today is Varaha Dwadashi. Varahadev Bhagavan Ki Jai. Okay. So I do have a verse, but I'm going to give a preface to why I chose this verse and my thinking regarding Lord Varahadev. First of all, I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for starting wonderful communities, for writing and translating so many books, for giving us incredible purports to Srimad Bhagavatam and verses that nourish us, that relish us, and that give us a glimpse into the life and spiritual world. I also offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master and all my teachers, by whose blessings, encouragement, and support that I'm able to offer some service to you. And my heartfelt obeisances to the beautiful community members and the leaders of New Ramanriti Temple for keeping a standard of devotional service and keeping a standard of morning program and programs that Srila Prabhupada has established to the core. So thank you very much for being an inspiration to young devotees like me. I was traveling, so it's been a while since I've been here in the morning program. And I was thinking how to structure this class on Lord Varahadev. And I was going back and forth because if you have attended any previous classes that I've given, there's always a theme that I pick. And then I try to dissect the theme around some personal sharing, some sharing regarding how it connects to Shastra, how it connects to where I am at. A lot of these classes actually are a reflection of where I'm at and what I need to hear. So this becomes that research project for myself. So I was thinking, really reading about third canto, multiple chapters, and thinking how to speak about Lord Varahadev and what angle should I take. And I came across this verse, and then after multiple thoughts and multiple trains and chains of thought, I realized that the way to describe Lord Varahadev is actually given in the Bhagavatam itself. And so, despite all the thoughts and structures and planning, I decided to take it all aside and just focus on what the Bhagavatam says about Lord Varahadev. And so we are going to focus on that. So I'm going to read this verse. We'll do recitation of the verse, and then I'll talk about why this verse kind of sums up what I'm going to talk about today. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 13th chapter, verse number 48. Ya eva metam hari medaso hare. Katham subhadram kathaniya mayina. Shrinvita bhaktya shravayeta voshitam. Janal dano shashuridhi prasidati. Ya eva metam hari medhaso hare. Katham subhadram kathaniya mayina. Shrinvita bhaktya shravayeta voshitam. Janal dano shashuridhi prasidati. Anyone from the Prabhus? Ya eva metam hari medhaso hare. Katham subhadram kathaniya mayina. Shrinveta bhaktya shravayeta voshatem. Janardano syasuridhi prasidati. Ya eva metam hari medhaso hare. Katham subhadram kathaniya mayina. Shrinveta bhaktya shravayeta voshatim. Janal dano syasuridhi prasidati. Mothers? Ya eva metam hari medhaso hare. Katham subhadram kathaniya mayina. Shrinvita bhaktya shravayeta voshatim. Janardano syasuridhi prasidati. Ya eva metam hari medhaso hari. Katham subhadram kathaniya manina. Shrinveta bhaktya shravayeta voshatem. Janardano syasuridhi prasi. Yaha. One who. Evam. Thus. Etam. This. Hari medhasaha. Who destroys the material existence of the devotee. Harehe, of the personality of Godhead. Katham, narration. Subhadram, auspicious. Kathaniya, worthy to narrate. Maina, of the merciful by his internal potency. Shrinvita, hears. Bhaktya, in devotion. Shravayeta, also allows others to hear. va either ushatim very pleasing janardanaha the Lord asya his asu very soon riddhi within the heart prasidati becomes very pleased. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude this auspicious narration of Lord Bor, which is worthy of description, the Lord who is within the heart of everyone is very pleased. Purport. In his various incarnations, the Lord appears, acts, and leaves behind him a narrative history which is as transcendental as he himself. Every one of us is fond of hearing some wonderful narration, but most stories are neither auspicious nor worth hearing because they are of the inferior quality of material nature. Every living entity is of superior quality, spirit, soul, and nothing material can be auspicious for him. Intelligent person should therefore hear personally and cause others to hear the descriptive narrations of the Lord's activities, for that will destroy the pangs of material existence. Out of his causeless mercy only, the Lord comes to this earth and leaves behind his merciful activities so that the devotees may derive transcendental benefit. Jai. So I was thinking that what angle to take in this class, and then how to structure the pastime, how to talk about it, and then the answer is in the Bhagavatam itself. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that actually just the narration of the Lord's activities are auspicious itself. And then they please the Lord. So we don't have to do anything. I was thinking that I don't have to craft some lessons out of it. Just doing a katha on Lord's pastime itself will invoke auspiciousness and will please the heart of the Lord and heart of everyone. So that's what we are going to do today. So I'm going to go into the katha of the appearance of Lord Varaha and some nuances and some lessons from it. So, can anyone tell me the word bore? What does it mean? What does it represent? A wild pig, right? That's the word that we have seen, bore. And can anyone tell me where does the word come from? It comes from Old English bar. Bar became bore, and then the Old English word comes from Old German, which comes from var, which comes from Sanskrit, varaha. So the word varaha actually becomes bore in the English language. And in the Bhagavatam, it is described that when Lord Varahadev appeared, the species of wild pigs did not exist in this material world. Lord Varahadev was the first ever manifestation of that particular form. Out of the 8,400,000 species, the one species of boar, wild boar, came from Lord Varaha. And Prabhupada writes in his purport that actually all 8,400,000 species come from the Lord in some shape or form in some universe. We only have limited understanding available to us because we only have the compact version of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said that in the upper planetary systems, the Bhagavatam has over 72 cantos. We only have limited information. So I found it really interesting that the word boar actually is cognate with Lord Varahadev. So what are some characteristics of Lord Varahadev that you can just shout out and then we can go from there? Anyone? Starts off really small and then becomes big. Wonderful. Thank you. Anyone else? Right. Yeah. Thank you. That's a wonderful point. That he appeared. He just appeared out of Brahma's nostril. Very sharp hair. Yes. The hair has a very specific significance that the Bhagavatam describes. Thank you. Large tusks. Yes. Very true. Massive tusk that he carries the earth on. He's very merciful. Lord Varadev gives his mercy out. The kusha grass. So the hair on Lord Varadhaya's body actually manifested as the kushagras that we see and that we use in the worship paraphernalia. Yes. Yes, yes. Lord Varadeva is considered as the personification of the Veda. So we're going to talk about that. Wonderful. Thank you. He came to rescue his devotee Mother Earth. That's correct. He benedicted Bhumi with the child. Could you name the name of the child? He became a demon. His name was Bhoma. And now we remember his as Bhomasur. Just because of... Why did he become a demon? Bad association. Exactly. Awesome. So we know, we have heard the pastime, we know about it. There is the role of nurturing, and then there is the role of the environment. So anytime the Lord appears, there is always multiple reasons for his appearance. And our Shastra describes that there is, these reasons are categorized into two aspects. Can anyone tell me what are the two aspects of the reasons of Lord's appearance? One is the external reason and the internal reason. Right? Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela says that Satya e hetu kintu eho bahiranga ara eka hetu suna ache antaranga. That there is always an external reason for Lord's appearance and then there is an internal reason. The antaranga karana, internal, and bahiranga, the external, what is visible. For instance, in our own lives, We also have these same attributes. For instance, if I'm going to the supermarket to buy groceries, that's the external reason. But then there is an internal reason that I want to get some fresh air, go see some place, see if the ice cream shop is open, but I'm only going to drive through it just to go to the grocery store. So there's always an internal reason that happens. We talk about Krishna's descent, right? Krishna says that he comes to establish dharma, protect devotees, annihilate miscreants. But then internal reasons, we know that he comes to enjoy loving pastimes with devotees, relish different rasas. We know Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent also, that he came to teach Kali Yuga Dharma, establish Harinam Sankirtan. But also, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that there are three unfulfilled desires that he had. Right? Radha, Krishna, Pranaya, Vikriti, that famous verse. So similarly, the appearance of Lord Varahadev has external reasons, which we see, to establish Mother Earth back into her position to fight, and then there is an internal reason why he appears. So Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj gave an incredible lecture in 92 that I really derive, a lot of this topic is derived from Gaur Govinda Maharaj's class. He says that he was challenging some devotees in the room, and he was telling the devotees that, do you think that you are the only ones with greed? You don't know the greed of the Lord. The Lord also has a greed. And he points to the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Trividham Narkasyedam Dwara Nashanam Atmana Kama Krodas Tatha Lobas Tasmad Etam Trayam Trajet. It is said, Krishna says in the Gita, that we have Kama, Krodha, and Lobha. These are three gates to hell, so to say. Lust, anger, and greed. And Gaur Govinda Maharaj says that this Lobha, because these things exist in us in a perverted form, but they actually exist in the Lord in the original purified forms. So the lobha, actually the greed, has a source in Lord's desires himself. So Krishna also carries a greed. And he said that it is the reflection of Krishna's personhood that he carries the greed. Now, why does he carry the greed and what happens to his greed? So he describes this whole analysis. He says that the seed of greed, desire in the Lord gradually develops and it fructifies over his pastimes, ultimately culminating into the form of Lord Gauranga. So he says that when the seed is planted, he desires to taste different rasas. Then the seed sprouts. Through his various incarnations, he begins to enjoy these rasas. Then the plant grows, and each avataras allow for deeper experience. Then the fruit ripens in Krishna Leela, and full range of rasas are tasted. And yet three desires remain fulfilled, and he appears as Lord Gauranga. So for instance, we know that Lord Chaitanya appeared because he wanted to taste Radharani's love from her perspective. This is something that was missing in Krishna Leela. Now Krishna appeared because he wanted to become friends with his cowherd boys. So he wanted to have, which is called as Vishrambha Sakhya, the friendship. So Sakhya, the nature of friendship, has two aspects. Sambrahma Sakhya, which means that friendship with awe and reverence, and Vishrambha Sakhya, which means that friendship as equals. So Krishna experienced friendship with equals, but when Lord Ramachandra appeared, he wasn't able to experience. His friends were with awe and reverence, such as Sugriv, Hanuman, mixed with awe. But Krishna was equals. So we see that Lord Narsingadeva, when he appeared, he wanted to experience Vatsalya love. So he experienced that. But then the Lord had the desire that, now I want to be friends. So Lord Ramachandra got friendship. Then Krishna said that, no, but I want friends at an equal level. So then he got his sakhas. And then he said that, but I now want to understand what Radharani felt. So he came as Lord Chaitanya. So Gaur Govind Maharaj says, similarly, Lord Varahadev, when he appears, there's a particular mood that he wanted to experience, which is the internal desire. And he said that he wanted to experience the opulence of Bal. So Krishna has six opulences, right? Fame, knowledge, wealth, beauty, renunciation. Which one am I forgetting? Fame, beauty, knowledge, renunciation, wealth, and power. Bal, of course. So Lord Varahadev appears because he wanted to experience that rasa of fighting, of combat, of protecting devotees through fighting. So that's the internal desire for his appearance in this world. Now, why is he longing? So he was longing, of course, his Adbhut Madhurima, Maharaj says that because he's longing, so he appears. But in order to fight, in order to experience the joy of fighting, the person opposite to him also has to be qualified. He cannot just appear and fight with any hooligan on the street. He'll defeat them like anything. So he creates this whole circumstance where the opponent also has to be of the same caliber in some capacity that the challenger can give some fight to the Lord. So that was otherwise there's no pleasure in fighting. So that's why we see the fight, the beautiful fight between Lord Varahadev and Hiranyaksha was incredible. The mace is going and he's ducking. We see in Matrix some of the new scenes that came out that he's ducking. Actually, Lord Varahadev did all of that in his pastimes. So the opponent also has to be equally strong. So in order to manifest that equally strong opponent, we see how the thread starts with Lord's desire. Then he wants to have an opponent. And then how does it manifest? The opponent, how do they manifest? It manifests to the pastimes of the Kumaras and Jayan Vijay. Now, the Bhagavatam actually describes that there are not one Varahadev. It says that there are two Varahadevs in the Bhagavatam. Can anyone tell me what's the difference between the two Varahadevs? Shweta Varaha and Rakta Varaha. Rakta Varaha. So now let's look at a little bit of history. So we have how many planetary systems in this universe? In this particular one? 14, right? 14 planetary systems in this universe. They're also called as mandals, right? So it starts with the topmost planetary system, which is Satyaloka. And who lives on Satyaloka? Brahma. Wonderful. Then we go one level down. What's the next planetary system? Tapaloka, where great sages live and they perform austerities. Then comes Janaloka, where Kumaras actually live. Then come Maharaloka, where sages like Bhrigu live. Then comes Swargaloka, right, which is where Indra's realm Amravati is. Then comes Bhuvaraloka, which is where the Siddhas, Charanas, Vidyadharas, people with mystic powers live. Then comes Bhuloka, which is with the earthly plane, where Earth is one of the planets amongst millions of planetary systems, millions of planets. Then starts the lower planetary system, which is also called as Bilaswarga, which means that subterranean heavenly planetary system. So the first one, below Bhurloka, is Atala, right? It's ruled by the son of Maya demon, and then there is Pishachinis and Kaminis and all these types of enchanting mystical women live. Then comes Vitala, where Lord Shiva resides in a particular form as Hatakeshwara, and Hataki River grows, where gold is produced from that river. Then comes Sutala, right, where Bali Maharaj lived. Then comes Talatala, which is the capital of Mayadana. Then Mahatala, where many hooded serpents live. And Rasatala, the home of Daityas. And then Patala, Nagaloka. Then below it is the hellish planetary system. And then we have the Garbhodak ocean, right? So this is the 14 planetary systems. Now, every time Brahma does a partial dissolution of the universe, What happens is that all the way from these lower planetary systems up to Maharloka get submerged in water. Every single time when partial dissolution happens, so again, there's the age of Brahma, there is the life cycle. Brahma does a partial dissolution at the end of his night. So these only three planetary systems, Satya, Tapa, and Janaloka, remain unperturbed. Everything else gets submerged in water. So when the first time this happened, the first time when Brahma was doing dissolution, and he noticed that his creation, Earth, actually got submerged in water, because all these planetary systems got submerged. So when the first time this happened, Brahma became confused, and he prays that, oh, how do I retrieve Mother Earth? What has happened? Who can I go to? And so he's counseling with Bhrigu, with Manu, with all these personalities that how do we rescue Mother Earth? What should we do about it? And at that moment, he notices a little sniffle in his nose and something comes out. And it's like the tip of his thumb, it's described. It's the size of the tip of his thumb and somebody comes out. And Brahma is confused. It's almost like a sneeze that, whoa, what just happened? Who is this personality? And it comes out like a fly. The Lord comes out like a fly and it becomes like a mountain suddenly. And then they are all wondering, who is this personality? He's looking like a boar. He has massive tusks. And then he goes around, turns around, he does a little bit of a trick suddenly. And then he submerges into the water. And they are wondering, what is this personality? Who is this? And then Brahma thinks that this is beyond my creation. This is something that I cannot create. So this has to be the Supreme Lord. And so he starts worshipping, praying. And then the Lord goes all the way down to the Garbhodha Koshan, picks up the Mother Earth and lifts her up. So this form of the Lord, this is without Hiranyaksha. There is no role of Hiranyaksha. This is because partial dissolution happened. This form of Lord Varaha was white in color. And that's why this is known as Shweta Varaha. So the whole millennium, that first time this happened, is called a Shweta Varaha Kalpa. That Lord Varahadev appears in a white form. So now every single time dissolution happens, there is some form of Lord Varahadev that appears, brings the earth. Now there was one specific yuga where Hiranyaksha appeared. So now let's connect it back to our first story that the Lord had a desire to fight, right? So now the Lord has a desire, and this is just to be aware of the environment that earth gets submerged, the Lord brings it out, the devotees worship. So in the Bhagavatam, the appearance of Varahadev chapter, this chapter, 13 chapter, it's kind of mixes the two stories, and Prabhupada writes in his purport that actually when sage Maitreya is speaking to Vidura, he's actually combining the two stories together, but in reality, they are two separate versions of Lord Varahadev. So now, going back to Lord's desire, right? Going back to his desires. So Lord is having this desire in his heart that I want to experience the joy of fighting, bala. I want to test my strength. At that same time, in Vaikuntha, who appears? Who appears as Lord is having this desire? The four Kumaras. These are the four sons of Brahma, right? So these four Kumaras, Sanandan, Sanatan, and Sanat Kumar, they appear. And they chose to remain as eternal four-year-old children. Brahma asked them that, go make progeny, now you are my children. And these four say that, actually, Dad, we decide to be like children. We don't want to deal with bills and home and marriage and none of that. We'll just remain as children and we'll study so that we never develop material desires. Similar thought to Shukadev Goswami. So they are learning Bhagavatam from Sankarshan, Ananta Shesha, in the lower planetary systems where Ananta Shesha is residing, on whose hood all these planetary systems exist. So they are learning Bhagavatam there, and they form this desire that we need to see this personality of Godhead. We have been hearing about it and we hear all these beautiful descriptions. So we need to go see him. So at that same time, they cross over, they go to the Vaikuntha planetary system, and there are these seven gates to get to where the Lord lives. So they pass through these six gates easily. And our acharyas write that the first gate represents freedom from envy. They did not have envy. The second gate represents freedom from lust, kama. Third, from anger, greed, delusion, and pride. And then the seventh gate was the gate of bhakti. And they were stopped there. So the acharyas say that their bhakti was not completely mature, which is depicted by them cursing Jaya and Vijaya. So this was the lesson for the Kumaras. So the seventh gate, they get stopped by Jay and Vijay, who are the gatekeepers. And they're such beautiful taking it apart of these verses and this pastime by our acharyas. Srila Jiva Goswami writes that actually the fault was not of Jay and Vijay for stopping them. He says that because Jay and Vijay immediately apologized. When this pastime happened, Jay and Vijay immediately apologized. So because they immediately apologized, it's not their fault because they knew they were in the wrong and they wanted to correct. Some say that Kumaras were at fault. Srila Prabhupada writes in his commentary that actually the Kumaras were like little children. And you don't stop children from doing anything. Like this child, we don't stop him because the child gets angry. So Prabhupada says that the Kumaras were children. And anytime a child is stopped, it throws a fit that, no, I want to go there. So Prabhupada writes that that was the reason they got cursed. So anyway, acharyas have given beautiful descriptions and versions of why this particular thing happened. So when that happens, and then this kerfuffle is happening, the Jay and Vijay, when they block them, Kumaras say that, who is this Bheda Buddhi? Who are you to differentiate that who gets to see the Lord? This kind of mentality should not exist in Vaikuntha. That was their argument. And they said that, okay, we curse you, we curse you. And then the doorkeepers immediately fell at Kumara's feet. At that same time, the Lord heard that something is happening. So the Lord immediately runs from his inner chambers and comes to the gate. He's so fast that even Garuda couldn't come on a timely manner. It is described that when the Lord appears there, Garuda is catching up that, oh yeah, right, I need to go towards the Lord. So as the Lord is speaking and he lifts his hand, Garuda immediately slides under the hand of the Lord. And the Lord is keeping his hand on Garuda's shoulder. And then the Lord speaks. And he says that, I apologize. This is an offense. You are coming to see me and I take responsibility for their behavior. And so the Lord says that the disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself. And then the Lord appeases the Kumaras. I was thinking that this idea of the Lord jumping, when somebody stopped from going, entering the temple, the Lord comes out. We see this similar manifestation in the pastimes of Jagannath Puri, where devotees who are unable to enter inside the temple, the Lord comes out, and it's the same paraphernalia. He comes out, all of his servants and everything comes out, and he comes to see the Lord, to see his devotees. So similarly, the Lord comes out, sees the Kumaras, and then he says that actually, in reality, it happened by my approval. I had a desire, and because of that desire, this manifestation happened. So now, Jay and Vijay, I give you the option of going into the material world, taking three births as demons, but then engaging in fighting with me, and I'll bring you back. And he says something very interesting. He says in 3:16:29, he says that, go perform bhakti yoga in anger. He tells Jay and Vijay. And Prabhupada writes that bhakti can be performed in all of these rasas. And he says to Jay and Vijay that, perform bhakti in anger. In anger, remember me. Remember me and get as angry as possible about me, and then I'll liberate you and I'll bring you back. And he tells the Kumaras that, don't worry, they'll be back shortly, because the time is different at that level, at that scale. So it's just a few seconds that pass by, that Jay and Vijay go down, they perform the three births, they come back. So it's very short time frame, but here it looks much bigger. So by the arrangement of Yogamaya and the will of the Lord to experience power, they appear and they take birth. So we know they appear as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, then Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then Shishupala and Dantavakra. So I was reflecting on my own life that anytime something, a reversal happens, or politically something is happening in the world, or something that is really troubling us, our minds, can we see, learn to see that somehow this has been sanctioned by a Lord for some purpose? And even when Lord Varahadeva appears, when Hiranyaksha is causing all this trouble, and when the curse happened and Hiranyaksha appears, the very first time the demigods and everyone is afraid. Prabhupada writes in the purport, actually the Bhagavatam writes, and then Prabhupada explains, that everyone was disturbed when Hiranyaksha appeared, every single personality on the planet, except the four Kumaras, because they knew that these are Jay and Vijay. So they were at peace. Only they were at peace. So, and the description is that bones and urine and stool, they are all raining from the sky. I mean, think of it if bones start falling from the sky right now outside. So everyone is perturbed. Even the great sages are perturbed, but the four Kumaras were not, because they knew that this is Lord Sankshan in the background. And so Prabhupada gives this as an example that any time a disturbing situation happens in our life where our service gets affected. So Jay and Vijay were servants at the door, and suddenly their service got taken away. And then we could feel morose, disturbed, that Lord, why did this happen? But recognizing that there is a Lord, there is a plan behind all of this, and here multiple layers of plan, that this is why it happens, gives us solace and gives us peace actually. So why worry when everything is ordained inevitably by Lord and happening under his approval? So then we know that, so how do they appear? Kashyapa Muni, and then there's a story of Diti, and Diti decides starts to conceive at the wrong time. She gives this idea, Lord Kashyapa. Kashyapa Muni says that this is not the proper time, evil spirits are going. And then demoniac souls would be invited into the womb. Then the pregnancy lasts for 100 years because she feels sorry. She feels so ashamed of herself that she keeps them in her womb for 100 years. And the universe is going dark. Because after she has made her mistake, she couldn't live with the shame of making that mistake. So Diti keeps her. And then finally they come out. Because the samskaras were not performed properly, which is the Garbhadana samskar, out of the 16 samskaras that we perform. So Hiranyaksha appears. Hiranya eyes. Aksha means eyes, and Hiranya means gold. So having gold eyes, golden eyed. So this Hiranyaksha then appears, and Prabhupada writes in his purport that it represents the mentality of exploiting wealth from earth. That's the mentality of Hiranyaksha. So if we are thinking, and if we see in our world about people wanting to exploit the mother earth, exploit the land, take oil, take all kinds of minerals out for personal benefits, personal use cases, Prabhupada says that that's the mentality of Hiranyaksha. So now going back to the pastime, that the earth goes down at partial dissolution, right? Hiranyaksha has appeared. He's raining havoc across. So in this one point, when Hiranyaksha is there, earth is still down. Earth is still submerged because partial dissolution is happening. And Hiranyaksha wants to fight. He wants to challenge everyone. So he's going from demigod to demigod. And so finally, he goes to Lord Varunadev. He goes to his kingdom. Does anyone know what's the name of Varunadev's kingdom? Vibhavari. So he goes to Vibhavari all the way down, under submerged underwater, and he challenges, Varunadev, you seem to be a strong person. Why don't you fight with me? And Varunadev gets so enraged. He says that, who is this person? Who does he think he is? And here's the example. Prabhupada writes in the purport that Varunadev gets angry, but he does not act on that anger. He says that, oh, you think you're strong? I am old. I'm not the right person to fight. Why don't you call upon Lord Vishnu? He is the original personality. He could fight. And he's angry, and yet he redirects Hiranyaksha. And the example Prabhupada writes is that when sometimes agitating situations happens, we can still direct people to not act on that anger. So he directs him to the Lord. And at that same time, the demigods are praying and they are confused. And then again, Brahma sneezes and then something comes out of his nose. And then it's the shape of a boar. And it is described that why does Lord Varaha appear from the nose of Brahma? Can anyone take a guess? Why does he appear from the nose? In Ayurveda, the sense of smell is connected with what element? Earth. The sense of smell is connected with earth element. So it is to almost prove that the Lord always upholds the Vedic principles. Since Ayurveda is a Vedic principle, he comes from the nose because of sense of smell. And now why is he called as personified Vedas? It is said that the Vedas actually are the breathing of the Lord. And this breathing of the Lord was inhaled by Brahma. So when Brahma inhales, he is inhaling the Vedas. And from his breath, the Lord comes out. So that's why Lord Varahadev is considered as the personification of the Vedas, because he is the breath of the Lord himself. So in this way, the Lord appears, and then he's bringing the earth back. He's lifting the earth. So in other yugas, the earth got submerged because of partial dissolution. In the yuga of Hiranyaksha, it got submerged because there was so much exploitation by Hiranyaksha that she goes herself and hides herself. And Hiranyaksha is looking around after challenge, after Varuna says, go fight the supreme person, don't fight with me. He's looking around, where is he? And he sees this boar carrying the earth upwards. And he says that, hey, you, wait, who are you? That earth is my property. I am supposed to exploit it. And then Lord actually looks at him, but he doesn't pay him heed. He goes up and he puts the earth on water. And Prabhupada writes that this is because the Lord, Bhumi Devi, is considered to be his, like his wife. So he wants to put his wife to safety and then he wants to challenge to fight. And he gives the example that a gentleman, in presence of his wife, if somebody is challenging him, he would make sure that his wife is safe. May you don't get scared by what I'm about to do, but let me go take care of him. So he puts Mother Earth, he goes down, and then he starts this incredible fight with Hiranyaksha. And it is said that his tongue was plates of sacrifice, his nostrils, his tusks are the results of initiation, his hair are where the Vedas emanate from, his eyes are like clarified butter, his four legs are four fruitive activities. So the form of Lord Varahadev is actually the personification of the Vedas. So when, and I'm going to bring it back to Lord Gauranga as we are coming to an end of the class. So when Prakashananda Saraswati in Chaitanya Leela is blaspheming the Vedas, he's reading the Vedas, but he's claiming that the Lord is impersonal. When this is happening, Lord Chaitanya blasts the door of Murari Gupta and he says that, who is this Prakashananda Saraswati who thinks that after reading the Vedas, he's coming to the conclusion that the Vedas are not personified, that it's not a person? I'm going to show him. And at that moment, Murari Gupta is wondering. At this point, Murari Gupta has not seen any divinity of the Lord. And then Lord Chaitanya suddenly starts developing tusks. And he takes this form of Varaha. And he lifts a water pot and he says, Murari, offer me prayers. I am the personified Vedas. And Murari Gupta is shivering. Oh my goodness, who is this Nimai Pandit? He has taken this form. So this is why the Lord gets so angry at Prakashananda Saraswati. The connection is to Lord Varahadev's pastimes. Because he does not consider him as personified despite reading the Vedas. So now the epic battle happens. Quick recap in a minute. Right? So the other thing here in this pastime is when Varuna tells him that don't fight me, fight the Supreme Person. Hiranyaksha didn't know where to find the Supreme Person. And at that point a personality appears. Who is that personality? Who is a catalyst who always appears in Leelas and brings the Leela to the next level? Who is this person? Narada. So it represents the idea of Guru, that Hiranyaksha, even though he wanted to go to Krishna, he had to go through Narada to honor the idea of that only Sri Guru can take you there. So Narada guides him that, okay, you're looking for the Supreme Lord? He's up there. And then he goes and finds. Otherwise, he's unable to recognize. So it's such a minor point, but we see how these pastimes, actually, if we start to go into them, everything has a reason. So then the fight happens, and it's described that they are fighting like two bulls fighting for a cow, which is also true. The Bhagavatam says it's like two bulls fighting for a cow because Mother Earth is sometimes represented as the cow. We see in the first canto of Bhagavatam itself. And the Lord's mace slips, and Hiranyaksha honors it, that, okay, your mace slipped, I'm not going to attack you. So the Lord gets more enraged that you are such a demon and you are following the rules of war. Then he creates this maya. Then Lord brings Sudarshana and all the illusions are dispelled. And then finally, as the fighting is happening, throughout all of the fight, ultimately the Lord just slaps him and he dies. So after all this fight, the Lord again goes to show that, who do you think, despite my fighting, even one slap of me can kill you? And then obviously the demigods become happy. So one last thing that I want to end with, when Hiranyaksha taunts Lord Varahadev, this is so brilliant. This is really the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam and our acharyas. He calls Lord Varaha that vana gocharaha, that you are a forest creature. Then he says, hey, mriga, hey, animal. Then he says, oh, agya, oh, fool. And oh, suradhama, you are the lowest of demigods. You have come here to fight with me. These are the challenges. These are the words that Hiranyaksha uses. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary, he says that this is actually Hiranyaksha worshipping the Lord. He says when he calls Lord as vana gochara, it means that he won, the person who enjoys in the forests. He says mriga, it also means that somebody who the sages are constantly meditating on. When he calls agya, he means that actually there's nothing to be known by you. You know everything. And when he calls him suradhama, sura also means demigods. And adhama means the lord of them. So in actually all of the taunts of Hiranyaksha in reality are actually glorification of the Lord, because we know that these Jay and Vijay, and this fighting is happening between them. And then obviously the final blow comes and Hiranyaksha dies. So Lord Varahadev is personification of Vedas for us. He gives us shelter, he gives us grace, he's displaying his power, and we worship him. There are many, many places in India, like Sri Varaha Kshetra, Varahanath Temple in Odisha, then in Khajuraho, there's deities of Lord Varahadev, then the famous Varaha Lakshmi Narasimha Temple in Simhachalam, Adi Varaha Swami Temple in Tirumala. All these places, different aspects of Lord Varahadev are described. And even in our Gaur Leela, there is one particular island out of the 9 islands. One of them corresponds to Lord Varahadev. Kola Dweep. Why? Because Kola means boar. Kola means boar, so Kola Dweep. And at that time, during the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Varahadev appeared to a Goswami there. And that deity is still being worshipped in Kola Dweep today. So we pray to Lord Varahadev that if my heart is like the universe, and if my lust is like Hiranyaksha, and the bhakti is like the bhakti is, which is hidden, is like Mother Earth, may Lord Varahadev appear, and from the depths and darkness of my heart, lifts bhakti up, defeats lust, and establishes bhakti to its absolute position. That would be my prayer, perhaps the prayers of everyone else, for Lord Varahadev. I'm going to end with one verse. Vasati dasana shikhare dharani tavalagna shashini kalanka kalevani magna keshavadrita shukar rupa jai jagadish hare jai jagadish hare jai jagadish hare. Jayadev Goswami writes, right, vasati, sitting, dashana shikhare, upon the tips of your tusk, dharani, mother earth, tava, your, lagna, attached, shashini kalanka, that means that just like the moon has spots, and the moon looks beautiful because of the spots, and the spots look beautiful because of the moon, the earth is looking beautiful on your tusk, Lord, and you are looking beautiful because of the earth on your tusk. Nimagna, which was immersed in the ocean. Oh, Keshavadrita, Shukara Rupa. So the other word for Varahadev is also called as Shukara. And similarly, just like the word Varaha became boar, a female boar is actually called as Sow, S-O-W. That comes from the word Shukara, similar roots. Jai Jagdish Hare. So we go back. I started with the idea that the katha of Lord Varahadev is pleasing in itself. We don't need to do anything. We just recite the katha. It pleases the Lord, pleases the devotees. Every action is internal and external motivation. Antaranga karan, bahiranga karan. The universe has cosmic timescales. There's multiple versions of things happen. Nothing happens without the Lord's sanction. It was the Lord's desire to fight. The boar embodies this mission of going, digging deep. He takes the form of boar to bring the earth, just like a boar goes inside. And even the demon can attain perfection by thinking of the Lord and dying. And then Lord Chaitanya obviously appears and performs. He's the source. Sabha avatara sara shiromani. So Lord Chaitanya depicts all the avatars. And he's waiting in our heart. Are we ready to invoke him, invite him to kill the demon of lust and to lift Mother Earth? And why worry? Because everything is ordained by the Lord. Thank you very much. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Questions, reflections, thoughts, corrections? Yes.
Okay. You explained the meaning, the origins of the word boar, but what about the origins of the Varaha and Shukara? Can you explain something about where these...
Like the Sanskrit roots of those words?
Yeah.
I have not done research on that, Prabhu. But that would be interesting to know where they come in Sanskrit.
They all have meanings. Vamana is like dwarf. And
yeah.
Okay, so anyway, one other... You mentioned a few places on where the temples are there, but the Mathura is there. Varaha, Vishram Ghat is where Lord Varaha spoke the Varaha Purana to Bhumi. He took rest, Vishram, after he picked up the earth.
Oh, wow.
And nearby, just behind there, there's the famous temples of Adi Varaha and Sweta Varaha. Adi Varaha, they have history, millions of years old history of this Varaha that Ramchandra gave to Shatrughna. Ramchandra got from Ravana, and like that goes back some days. Kapila was worshiping and gave to Indra, and Indra got conquered by Ravana, and Ravana got the deities, and then Ramchandra conquered Lanka. He brought those deities to Ayodhya, and Ayodhya he gave to Shatrughna when he went to kill. Who was it? Lavanasura.
Thank you for sharing. I did not know that. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So Adi Varaha, what Prabhu said, Adi Varaha temple in Vishram Ghat in Mathura. Behind Vishram Ghat. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a really nice class. I thought it was so interesting that bhakti can be performed in all the different rasas. And also, just the thought of how, you know, Jai and Vijay, even though they took birth as demons, they never, because even when they were spouting insults, they weren't really insults. So they never lost their connection, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
They weren't fighting like demons, really.
Yeah, it's both, right? It's they were and they weren't, because deep down they knew who they were. And at the same time, to serve their Lord, to do their service appropriately, they had to. And it is said that Lord Varaha gets insulted, like when he's like, I'm not gonna hit you because your weapon is down. Lord gets so agitated. It is also described in one place that Lord Varaha gets agitated by his words when Hiranyaksha is calling. So they're also doing their service and they're also appeasing him and glorifying him. So it's such a balance of these divine personalities, how they act and how they do. Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Prabhu. So much information. Whoa. Each part you could give a whole class. Thank you. You said that their dissolution after night and day of Brahma. So Mother, the earth was also covered with water,
yes,
which is natural.
Yes.
So why did they think, why did Lord Varaha come thinking that he had to rescue? Because the process would have been that, you know, that she would have come up again.
The very first time it happened, Brahma got confused that what do I do? That partial dissolution has happened and, oh, Mother Earth has been submerged. She's Bhumi Devi, she's worshipable. So the first time when Brahma got confused, the Lord appears to rescue and then that becomes his pastime to perform.
So the first time, he didn't know that she would be submerged.
He didn't know, yeah. Brahma got confused that, oh, what's happening? And we see this in the creation of Brahma. Whenever he does creation, because again, the Bhagavatam, it's not a historical version, right? It's not chronological of what happens. It takes stories for what the lesson needs to be communicated. So we see that Brahma gets confused with so many of his creations. He creates the Kumaras and then suddenly they said that, nope, we're not going to increase progeny. Then he creates Rudra and Rudra gets angry at him. Then he says, no, you go make your progeny like this. Then Brahma creates all these lower kinds of things. And then Brahma says, I'm disgusted by this thing. What do I do? So we see that Brahma is actively creating and actively thinking about his creation when he's doing it. So he gets confused that, oh, what do I do now? I don't know what to do about this situation. And we see that Brahma's recourse always has been to pray to the Lord. And then the Lord comes and helps him out. That's yes. How we can see it.
Okay. And the other question I had was, the Lord wanted to fight and he had Jai and Vijay come down. But he only fought with one of them.
Well, he appeared as Narsimhadev, right? Then to fight with the other. So with Hiranyaksha is Jai and Hiranyakashipu is Vijay.
That's right.
Okay. So then he appeared, they took birth and then he came again. And then at that time he also had the Vatsalya desire. So he did the fight and with Prahlad he could fulfill the Vatsalya desire. Mm. So we see that even in the fights, the Lord's desire is progressing, right? As they are helping him perform his Leela and fulfill his desires.
So when Lord Varaha came, as a white incarnation, just to rescue the
Yes,
Lord.
That's
so,
it.
So the Jai and Vijay were not involved.
No, this Jai and Vijay pastime happened after. So okay. This is a different millennium when this happened. Yeah, Chakshushamanu, right. Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Okay.
This might be a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Sometimes the Lord comes and he has parents and families like Lord Chaitanya and Krishna and Lord Ramachandra. And then sometimes he just like appears for like a specific thing real quick and then like disappears again. And I guess like help me understand this, because we also hear, I've also heard, there are actually like he appears in all species of life. He's like, he appears so much, so but we only hear about this, and of this, there seems to be like a clear distinction between like the, I don't want to say the importance, but like the importance, like we know that an entire life of Lord Ramachandra, like we know the entire life of Krishna, the entire life of Lord Chaitanya, but these other ones are so small. Help me understand.
So like, why does he do that?
Yeah. What's the, not why, but like, what's the importance? There must be a really big importance of that.
I mean, the answer that I've heard on this is that because he's a person, because he chooses to do the things that he likes to do. For instance, the whole Jai Vijay Kumara cursing, and our acharyas have really churned it a lot, that why did this happen? Why did this happen? And the Lord says, it happened because I wanted it. So ultimately, he's a person and he is free to do whatever he wants to do and however he chooses to appear. And then it's on the devotees to start to understand and to make sense. And that's why Shanaka Sanatana Varnita Charita, you know, it is said that, right? The Shanaka Sanatana are brahmacharis, Naishtika brahmacharis. And ultimately they're worshipping Srimati Radharani, a woman. And it is Rupa Goswami writes that, look at this surprise. So it's the Lord and his pastimes and how he does, and it gives us this relishment of, wow, Lord, it is incredible. Because if we start to understand everything that the Lord does, then how is he the Lord? We try to understand and then something else appears. And I think that's one way to understand why he chooses certain things and why he doesn't do certain things. Perhaps you can ask him this question. Maybe he can answer something. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Very nice class. Thank you. I was just thinking which one to put. There are so many little things. But anyway, I'll just put one. We cannot just say it is the desire of the Lord alone stands and Joy Vijay fall for the curse. That's wrong. In Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gave a commentary that Lord had a desire to enjoy the Shiblari, Rasa.
Right.
But it reflected, because they are in spiritual world, the heart of the Lord and the devotee's heart are same level, pure goodness.
Mm.
So it's not you thinking something, I'm thinking right. The material world, but spiritual world on the Rasa. So because they have a Shiblari Rasa already as a candidate, they felt it.
Mm.
Then they talked themselves, what is the value of living if we cannot give a fight to the Lord?
Mm.
Let's go to lower planetary system and take a body to give him a fight. Because in Vaikuntha, there is no fight.
Right.
In Golok Vrindavan, there is a fight.
Mm.
But that's, Sridham with Krishna.
Yeah.
A big fight. Mm. But so that's why we have to say initiating cause, maybe Lord wanted, definitely. But they also wanted to participate. They want to serve him that way.
Mm.
That's why this Leela took place.
Mm. Thank you.
So we should not be blame God.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
Otherwise, people will think like this.
Yes.
God is the cause of my all problem. It's not.
Yes.
It is reciprocation.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, that there couldn't be any fight there. And Jain Vijay weren't attuned. And that's why they immediately apologized that, what did we do? But then deep down, they gave satisfaction to the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
I remember also in Sanatana Goswami gave a little tips that Hiranyaksha could not find the fighter after he Varundev told him that I'm getting old.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is the mentality of the demons that they search everywhere God except one place,
their own heart. Mm.
Because Hiranyaksha never looked at his own heart, but the Lord was there already.
Mm.
That's why he had to go through like a so long road from lower planet to higher planet to search out.
Mm.
Of course, then the Narad Muni came, as you mentioned. It's very nice. So if we see the Lord. Like for an example, right now the deities are here.
Mm.
And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, that the devotee has to see the Lord first in the heart.
Mm.
Then you come to the temple, your Lord, that you have a relationship, unites with the deity. Then you see the deity as a supreme God.
Beautiful.
So it's very important that we develop that relationship in the heart.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice. I just want to say one thing.
Yes.
I like the point that how just by hearing these pastimes, just by hearing the Bhagavatam, purifies us without even understanding. Mm. Just by being here in a
just
class.
Just by being here.
We can make advancement because the Lord sees that our desire is there and He fulfills it even without understanding. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't see. I get
Thank you.
My dear Pran, if you desire, please mention that in the Bhagavatam revealed to us on this planet, and due to the mercy of hearing from the topmost devotee, Srila Prabhupada, we have sufficient information to enter into transcendence.
Mm.
This is coming from a senior.
Jai ho.
Prabhupada said.
Jai ho.
Repeat, he said limited Srimad Bhagavatam here, more volumes in upper planets. Anyway, I just want to clarify.
Yes, Prabhupada gave everything what we need.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
It seems like they're really in character.
It's
you know,
what?
When Jai and Vijay are in character as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, it seems like they're really in character. You don't really hear, at least I, you know, we haven't really heard commentaries like they're thinking as Jai and Vijay, but I'm acting like Hiranyakashipu, you know. I'm sure. I guess all of us have this to some degree. Of course, they're in another category. But, you know, there's that primal on some level, you know. I mean, it's there still. But they're kind of, I don't know. It's just an interesting point.
Yeah, that they were in character and they're fully embodying the role that they're playing. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a parallel to that is the mood of the gopis, you know, parakya bhava, parakya rasa, that they're performing their duty so well with their husbands, but internally, deep down in their heart, their thought is that, oh, we want to go to Krishna. To Rupa Goswami. Act like that, yeah. Externally, you act like that, but internally, know who's your Lord. So we don't know the hearts of pure devotees. Exactly, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But then it's also more than the characters, the taking the birth and then living that life also, right? So, yeah, thank you. It's an interesting point. Yes, final question, final comment.
I was listening to a class the other day by Radhika Raman, and in this class, he was saying how when we read these purports, not just of Srila Prabhupada, but also of the other acharyas, we're actually like, we're sitting in a room observing the conversation between these different acharyas that have taken place over centuries. And so I just want to appreciate this, bringing in what all of these other acharyas have said about these same, the same pastime, you know, because we now actively get to participate in a conversation that we're hearing going on right now in real time. And so it's just such an amazing thing. Thank you so much.
That was Prabhupada's process of writing and consulting all these acharyas and then writing his commentaries and his purports. So that is to the credit of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Lord Varadev's appearance day ki jai. Hari Bol.